With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to draft night coverage right here on the Three Technique. The first round is wrapping up. We are on the clock with the Dallas Cowboys at pick 24. Mitch and I are here to break everything down. We're going to talk about the rest of the picks as they come in and go over some of the big storylines that have taken over this draft so far. All that and more right here on the Three Tech draft coverage. Mitch, it's been an eventful night so far. 14 offensive players off the board, 14 picks in a row, 6 quarterbacks in the top 12. I mean, those are the headlines, but what is most surprising to you so far tonight?
Without a doubt, it's Michael Penix Jr. at 8 to the Falcons. You signed Kirk Cousins to a Brinks truck deal. He reportedly was told that the Falcons were going to consider a quarterback in this draft. He was not told, however, that they were taking the heir apparent with their 8th overall selection. And Cousins from Diana Russini of the NFL Network is not happy with this selection. So Atlanta already has created a fire amongst their own camp. But without a doubt, taking Penix Jr. threw everybody off. I mean, we were telling you on the preview of the draft that this was almost a lock to go first defensive player and likely an edge rusher, right? Dallas Turner, maybe Laiatu Latu. Yeah, and instead they go quarterback of the future. That's been the most surprising for me. How about yourself?
That definitely set the wheels in motion for a very interesting beginning to this draft. And it's caused a lot of people, a lot of really solid players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to fall, just careem down this board. Yeah. And, you know, I think you follow that Michael Penix Jr. pick up with the Bo Nix pick, right? And was kind of fleshing out some of my thoughts on that as a casual Broncos fan, not a super fan by any means, but a casual observer of the Denver Broncos. I want them to do well. I enjoy it when they do well. I really, you know, the shock value of that pick, really, when you step back and think about it, it makes sense what they did, right? Because so let me make the case that it does, because they're sitting there at 12. You just saw Minnesota move up from 11 to 10 to take J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. And they're looking at themselves and saying, you know, they had to be saying to themselves two things. One, we desperately need a quarterback this year because we don't like who's on the board next year. We can tank all we want, but we're not going to get a franchise-changing quarterback this year. You can make the case that Bo Nix is not a franchise-changing quarterback. I don't think a lot of people are going to argue with that.
I would make that case.
Absolutely. And I would say that you are 95% likely to be correct. But let me just make the case that it might not be the dumbest move of this draft so far. Like I've seen some people say, you got to squint to see it, but there's a big tier break after Bo Nix. Who's the next best quarterback in this draft after Bo Nix? Maybe Michael Pratt, I'm guessing.
Pratt or Spencer Rattler.
Peter Burns' favorite quarterback in this draft, Spencer Rattler. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge tier break, though. And Bo Nix, is the likelihood of him being a game-changing quarterback in the NFL is extremely low. The likelihood of Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler being a game-changing quarterback in the NFL is just as close to zero as you can get in my mind. So if they're looking at this draft board saying we have to get a quarterback, that was the only one you're going to take. You weren't going to wait around to the second and third round and get someone that's just completely further down your board. So I think they let the draft kind of dictate their pick maybe a little bit too much. but they were in a desperate situation, and that certainly played into that pick.
Woo! Cowboys submitted their pick with 20 seconds left.
All right, and this is why. Oh, they traded.
Okay, I was going to say they were working. They did with the Detroit Lions, who, shout out Bobby, texted me earlier today. He said Detroit may be wanting to move up.
Okay.
We'll see who they go with here. Let me pull up that text. I can't remember. Did he say Terrion Arnold? Who did he say? Yeah, Terrion Arnold or Jared Verse were the two names that he texted me that they were looking for. Jared Verse is off the board to the Rams at 19. So I wonder if this is Terrion Arnold. Cowboys threw the proverbial pin when Troy Fontenot went off the board at 20 to the Steelers. They wanted the offensive tackle from Washington and worked the phones until the last second. I mean, 20 seconds left.
Literally last second.
Yeah, so the Lions getting ready to make the pick here. I do think this is going to be cool.
Cowboys at 27, is that correct?
29.
29, okay.
And I don't know that we know what the haul is yet. It can't be a ton. Maybe it's a fourth-round pick. They don't have a fourth-round pick this year. They traded that to San Francisco.
Just flashed up on NFL Network, Mitch. So Detroit receives the 24th and a 2025 seventh. Dallas gets the 29th and the 73rd overall pick.
Wow, that is huge.
Yeah, great trade for the Cowboys there.
Okay, all right, so Captain Trade Down Rides. That's big for Dallas. We were thinking they were going to take Graham Barton. That probably means if he's gone, maybe you're taking Zach Frazier, center from West Virginia. You need an interior lineman, just as long as they don't take a running back. I don't know well, that they can screw that up.
Well, but getting that extra third round pick, I think that signals that they will be taking a running back in the second or third round, right? Because now you have a luxury pick to play with.
You would hope.
Yeah, and you know, we intentionally timed our entry into this live stream to be around the time the Dallas Cowboys were picking. That is our NFL team of choice, and we wanted to gift you guys with our live reaction. Maybe it's joy, maybe it's commiserating like it was last year with Mozzie Smith. We definitely wanted to give that live reaction and also break down all the rest of these picks here. But Mitch, back to the discussion we were having, those quarterbacks and where they went. I think it's fascinating how this played out because a ton of the mock drafts, yours included, had someone trading up to 4 with Arizona. And my caveat with all of that was, and this is, I think, eventually how it played out, you had to make a really compelling offer to me if I'm Arizona to give up on a generational talent in Marvin Harrison Jr. and pairing him with Kyler Murray.
Right.
And no one was able to make that package happen. We didn't see a trade until Minnesota moves up from just 11 to 10 to outbid most likely Denver and Vegas to get JJ McCarthy. Was that surprising to you? I know that that was in your mock draft, but the way that it played out tonight, it was pretty chalky the first 6 or 7 picks until all hell broke loose with Atlanta.
It was. And I thought, you know, we talked about silly season. The plethora of trade options evidently were a part of that. And it was tough to say because those rumors started early on. But it does go real chalky. J.C. Latham going 7. I think a lot of people maybe had him outside their top 12 at the very least. But Joe Alt going at number 5 meant that the top tackle was off the board. Tennessee addresses their glaring need. They do pass on the flashy wide receiver in Roman Dunze. They pass on Brock Bowers. Then once the quarterbacks started going off the board, and this was the first time in NFL history that we'd had 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 10, the first time that we'd had 6 quarterbacks taken in the top 12 as well. So, you know, unless you were predicting history, you crumpled that mock draft up and threw it out the window. Although I do think from what we've seen, team needs have largely shown through, right? Aside from the Falcons doing what they did at 8, teams have hunted their needs, and the board, at least in our mind, has lined up with that in large part.
Well, let's see the Lions selection here. They trade up to pick 24 with Dallas. Dallas moves back to pick 29, picks up a third round pick for their trouble. We thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Really nice audience in here. Make sure that you're dropping your comments in the chat. If you have any questions for us, we will try our best to answer those. If you have any thoughts on what your team has done, let us know. As the Lions are making their selection, local girls flag football players from Detroit, it looks like, are helping out with that. Pretty cool to see.
Terrion Arnold,
the cornerback from Alabama, fits a need for Detroit, right? That's probably the biggest need on their board. The biggest weakness that they had on their entire team last year was their pass defense, and specifically on the outside.
Didn't the Lions have a corner get arrested this offseason as well?
That wouldn't surprise me.
I think for like domestic assault or something like that.
Wow.
So yeah, they definitely needed a corner help. I'm tweeting at 3TechPod. If you're watching on YouTube right now or listening on the podcast, I'm tweeting out that screenshot that Bobby sent me earlier. He got a little Nostradamus in him this afternoon at TNT College Football Podcast. If you're looking for Connecticut sports, by the way.
Yeah, UConn insider and a Detroit Lions insider. That's a great combination. Garrett could not be with us tonight, Mitch, but he did chime in the chat here. Malik Nabers to New York was his favorite pick so far of the first round. And that's another thing that's been kind of surprising to me so far. I know we saw Brian Thomas Jr. go off the board a couple picks ago to Jacksonville. I was expecting a few more wide receivers in the first round so far, personally. And maybe we're about to have a big run on them here at the end. I was thinking Cincinnati could potentially take one. I was thinking, you know, Jacksonville did eventually take one after trading back. But, you know, between, I guess it was who was the first last wide receiver before Nabers? It was
before Nabers, it was Roma Dunze.
Yeah, that's right. So, not before Nabers, before Brian Thomas. So yeah, so only four wide receivers off the board plus Brock Bowers. That's another pick that I think that just fell into the Raiders' lap at 13. I think that was a fantastic pick for the Las Vegas Raiders. Are you surprised about the lack of pass catchers so far, or is this about what you were expecting?
I'm not, because if you watched any of the pre-draft coverage, Nick Saban alluded to this fact that there were so many talented wide receivers that you were probably going to see them get pushed down the board. Teams, unless they had just an elite talent like an Odunze, like the Giants going Nabers at six, probably saying, you know what, we're going to let somebody else push that first domino over and we'll get someone in the second or third round. The wide receiver class is very, very deep this year. Where you have seen picks invested is in that offensive line. Now we're starting to see some of the edge rushers come off the board. Chop Robinson goes to 21. Excellent athlete. Can he finish?
Chop Robinson.
I got to see him finish. He's just got to be able to get to the quarterback. He's going to look great at the Underwear Olympics, but the production just wasn't there in college. That being said, he joins potentially a very scary Miami front seven, which is, I think, maybe a great place for him to go. Is we get to see if Cooper Jean goes here to the Packers. They just got their pick in. You think Packers are hunting cornerback safety here, or are they going to go somewhere else?
Man, they need offensive line help.
Everybody.
Everybody needs offensive line help. I know the Cowboys, I know, definitely are hoping Graham Barton falls to them, or they can take kind of a best available player situation.
Yeah.
But, man, they need corner help. Cooper DeJean would be a great pick. Nate Wiggins is also there. I don't think that's a bad pick at all either.
Yeah.
But the tackle market's kind of cleaned out. If they like Tyler Guyton, it would be a little bit of a reach right here for me. But, just kind of depends on what they have on their board.
I would love for somebody to take Guyton off the board so the Cowboys can't pick him.
He's kind of the last man out for me on that tackle market. He's definitely the lowest man on that totem pole. Not a bad player. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a solid NFL player. Just doesn't excite me as much as some of the other tackle prospects that have already come off the board. or a Graham Barton that you can play at a couple different places, guard, solve the center problem for the Cowboys. Mitch, as we're waiting on this Packers selection and the fans in Detroit are still celebrating the Terry and Arnold pick, let's talk defense, because you and I, and I think the whole draft world, was just penciling in Dallas Turner as the first defensive player off the board. He was, in fact, I think the second defensive player off the board, but didn't go
third. Third defensive player. Latu and Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy went before him too. I forgot about Murphy, but which was a fantastic pick.
Was.
But right there. So, yeah, I mean, Dallas Turner does not follow in Will Anderson's footsteps as the first defensive player off the board out of Alabama, his counterpart there. And Latu Latu, the first defensive player off the board going to Indianapolis. I know we've already kind of talked about how it was shocking that it took until the 15th pick of the draft. That's the longest it's ever taken for a defensive player to be taken.
Yeah.
But were you surprised with that order?
A little bit, because I expected the Colts to go corner. I thought, I honestly thought that Quinion Mitchell was going to go at 15, him or Arnold.
I was too, and I was thinking back to those odds we talked about.
Yeah.
Plus 1,200 and thinking, man, if you had the stones to make that bet.
Yeah.
Good for you. And then they took Latu instead. But,
you know, we talked about it. Latu's a guy that medically retired due to a neck injury a couple of years ago, and then he came back and played well at UCLA and dominated against USC and put up some really flashy tape. You know, so the Colts are getting maybe a high risk, high reward kind of guy. They must feel confident enough to select him with their 15th overall selection. Byron Murphy fell in the Seahawks' lap. They needed another defensive tackle. That was a great play by the Hawks to just sit there and patiently wait for their guy to get there. And then, you know, Dallas Turner, the Vikings trade back up to 17. There are questions about his motor when you study his tape. He takes a lot of plays off. Kind of looks like he's on a pitch count out there, like a self-governed pitch count. So the Vikings are going to have to, you know, train that out of him. But the talent is undeniable. He can wreck a quarterback's world once he gets going.
Well, the Packers selection is in here at 25. Mitch is just a little bit ahead of me, and he's reacting.
Oh,
let's see.
Dude, head in hands for Packers fans right
Jordan
now.
Jordan Morgan, the tackle out of Arizona, and that is someone in that draft room's pet cat.
That is a pet cat.
Has to be.
Very good player, but early. Early to take him. He's an end of the first round kind of guy. Packers Nation was really wanting Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, rightfully so. He's a fantastic player, fantastic athlete. This was the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, when I asked you on Monday night when we were recording, Morgan was the guy that you said, he's just kind of the odd man out for me in the first round, right?
So left tackle at
Arizona. You're looking for, like when I said, who is someone that you thought maybe should be in the first round, but you just couldn't find a place for him.
I just didn't think he was going to be preferred above some of the other offensive linemen in this draft. And, you know, I certainly did not have him going in the top 25. You know, nice of the Packers to finally decide to protect their quarterback. You know, Jordan Love getting a little bit of an assist here. Left tackle for the Wildcats. He's a big, nasty guy. Will smother an edge rusher or an outside linebacker if given the chance. I just think he needs some more polish. You know, and maybe... maybe this is a chance to go and kind of, I don't know, get his lumps early in Green Bay and get that polish up. But the talent's there. It's just, for me, I felt like there were guys who had done it more consistently above him on my board, and that included some of the interior guys. Now, is that, you know, my personal board being affected by my team? Maybe so. I think he's a good player. Just it feels a little bit early for me. I kind of felt like he was going to go to, you know, Baltimore, San Francisco, someone at the very, very end of the draft.
Yeah. Maybe even Kansas City, if they decided they didn't like the receivers available.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting pick. And I think when you get to the end of the first round, it's always very interesting to see some of these guys that sneak in as first round picks, right? Because we get locked in as people on the outside. We are not in these NFL scouting rooms. We're not in the front office of an NFL team. And each and every one of these teams has a different big board. That's really easy to forget when you get kind of locked into the Twitter groupthink and the NFL draft coverage groupthink of, yeah, this guy's a first rounder. This guy has a first round grade. This guy has a second round grade. It's really easy to get locked into that, you know, fan and analyst groupthink and forget that each and every one of these teams has their own big board. And, right. You know, especially when we're here in the mid to late 20s, some teams are out of first round picks. And these guys and out of first round grades and these guys that are not first round grades, I'm not saying that Wilson isn't a first round grade. He might be for Green Bay and that's why they took him. But if he's not, and they're out of first round grades at this point, then all things else being equal, they're just taking a guy that they like.
And I wonder if, you know, the market for the 49ers, the Bills, the Chiefs to move up, I wonder if that's dried up. Because
it used to be
wide receivers, there wasn't just this Herculean run on wide receivers. And so it may have been a situation where you're just kind of stuck in shotgun and you have to go ahead and make your pick. Green Bay and New England over the years, historically, it feels like their pet cats show up in the first round more than a lot of other teams, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think you could add maybe the Seahawks to that as well when they're actually picking in the first round. Sometimes even the Ravens have done that a couple times. But yeah, Green Bay and New England for sure have in the past at least had smartest guy in the room syndrome. I will say we kind of buried the lead here. We talked about the surprising quarterback picks. Let's go back to the top of the first round here. If you're just joining us and you haven't been following along tonight, 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, the first 14 players off the board are offensive. We kind of talked about the surprising quarterbacks of Michael Penix and Bo Nix off the top, but let's go back to the very top of the draft board. Obviously, Caleb Williams, I think he closed at minus 20,000 to go number one overall. So that was not a surprise to anybody.
Yeah.
The second pick, there's some debate between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, goes to the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, a little unfortunate on the timing of our preview show because I had been hearing that Drake May was still very much in play. We kind of got off the air, and I started to see that it was like, no, just kidding. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. And so,
did you buy into the Topgolf narrative at all?
I didn't think that would really affect one way or the other. Like, who cares if the agents miffed? You know,
if you have no idea what I'm talking about, apparently the Commanders took all their draft visits to Topgolf and let them interact. And Drake May thought it was awesome. And Jaden Daniels was like, this is the weirdest thing ever.
Did Jaden think that, or was it his agent that was,
I heard it was either him or his camp. I'm not sure. And I just kind of caught that very briefly on ESPN radio.
Yeah, his camp was like, we expected more one-on-one time, and Drake May was like, woo!
Top golf, baby! Yeah. I heard Drake May, I was driving to work yesterday, and we don't have live and local radio as much as some bigger metro areas down here, so we got the national ESPN radio, and they were interviewing Drake May, and it was just a joy. I'd never actually listened to him be interviewed in a long form. And it was so great to listen. He's a really solid dude. I'm really happy for him to go third overall. And, you know, moving on to talking about him a little bit, I think that's a really solid pick for the Patriots. There was a lot of rumors about them moving down, maybe not standing in there and picking up some draft capital. I think it's smart to pick up this guy. And I'll put that thought on hold as Goodell is coming back up to the podium for the Buccaneers selection.
Yeah,
definitely need offensive line. Wide receiver could be a
move. Oh, you're not going to like this.
Oh, baby. Graham Barton. Show it to me. Graham Barton. Center out of Duke. The guy that we were hoping would fall all the way down to 27. or 29, excuse me, to the Dallas Cowboys. He does not. He goes at 26. Great pickup for the Buccaneers. What are they getting in Graham Barton?
They're getting a physical captain of the defense, captain of the offensive line. No doubt. When you talk about your center being a quarterback, being a leader of that offense, Graham Barton is that guy. Has some position versatility, played tackle, can play guard, projects probably as a center in the NFL, but is just very solid run and pass pro. I think he's going to be a big pickup for everybody on that Tampa Bay offense, right? I mean, you've got why am I blanking on their quarterback that they just signed the extension? Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
you just signed Baker to an extension. You got to take care of him. Tampa was hunting edge rusher here. Chop Robinson went at what, 20?
20 straight up, I think.
21 to Miami. 21. I had seen Chop mocked to Tampa quite a bit here in the mid-20s, and they don't get that chance to take the edge rusher, so they invest on the other side of the trenches, which I think is smart. Tampa had been really struggling on their offensive line at really these last two seasons. Since Tom left, and they shore that up with Graham Barton.
Yeah, fantastic pick. If you're watching on the NFL Network, the highlight package they just showed of Graham Barton is so sexy. Pulling from the tackle position, yeah. Lead blocking on screen, just pancaking dudes left and right. He will be one of the best offensive linemen that comes out of this draft. Goodell walking back up to the podium already for the Cardinals' second selection of this first round. They, of course, stood in there at number four. A lot of people thought they were going to trade down. They stood in there at number four and took Marvin Harrison Jr., and they're going to pair him with Darius Robinson.
Called this.
Out of Missouri.
Called this. If you follow us on our Twitter account, I tweeted projections earlier today, and I said Darius Robinson will sneak into the end of the first round. I tried to get him in our mock draft. I just couldn't make it happen when I sat down that time, but the more I kept reflecting, the more I kept hearing Darius Robinson since the Senior Bowl, man, he cleaned up. He jumped on people's radar. The athleticism, he finishes. He's going to be a nightmare for quarterbacks in the NFC West. I love this pickup for Arizona, who has needs all over the place, right? You're able to go get just a stud out of Mizzou. I love this pickup.
I think in a mock for them at one point, or we had them taking Harrison and Jerzon Newton, which I think would have been a fantastic pairing for them as well. They need help all over the defensive side of the football. Getting a solid edge prospect in Darius Robinson, he might be edge three for me in this draft. I think I have Jared Verse ahead of him, and I have Dallas Turner ahead of him just on raw athletic potential. I think he's just as he could be just as good as Latu. In my mind, and he's pushing for that edge three.
Okay, so the Bills may be moving back here at 28. There's
interesting
kind of conflicting reports over on Twitter. I haven't seen a definitive answer. They're on the clock still, but we'll see what happens there. Also, two things that I just found scrolling on my Twitter feed. One, Bill Belichick evidently said that the Cowboys should take edge. Pass rusher, outside linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper with pick number 29.
Well,
local flavor would be fun. I don't know what that means for the rest of their board necessarily. Now that you've got a extra third round pick, are you going to say you're going to find your starting center or guard in the second, third round? Maybe.
There's some interest. I will say, you know, tackle, they got completely wiped out. I think they needed a tackle. I think the writing was on the wall for them there, and they realized that they were going to need to trade up to get a tackle of the caliber of taking in the first round, and they just didn't want to do that. The Cowboys are typically not a team that believes in doing that. They really believe in their scouting department and take in that they can get a lot of value in the second and third round, so they don't want to use those picks to move up in the first round.
Right.
There's some interesting guard and center prospects in the second and third round, I will say.
There are.
And if you want to make sure, you will make your team better by taking an elite linebacker if you're the Dallas Cowboys. I firmly believe that. If you watch, Kansas City traded up with Buffalo. That's fascinating. that the top two teams in the conference would make that deal, that Buffalo would say, yeah, we're trying to catch up to Kansas City, but we're going to trade with them here.
I know you don't ever have enough edge rushers, but the Cowboys need an inside linebacker more than anything, right? Leighton Vander Esch just had to medically retire. You're getting DeMarvian Overshown back healthy this season. The Cowboys were raving over him last year. So he's going to be able to step into that edge rusher position. It would be nice to have another pass rusher, but when you have multiple, not just one, but multiple holes on your offensive line, and you have Jackson Powers Johnson sitting there, you have Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, sitting there. For me, I mean, obviously it's going to come down to their board, their medicals on these guys, both of whom maybe have some injury issues that could be lingering. Frazier had his season end due to injury. I don't know what the Cowboys medical staff knows, but for me, if you take a linebacker here, even though I love Edgerrin Cooper, freak athlete, I don't know that would sit super well with me until I knew what they did with their second round pick, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I wouldn't love it either on the surface, but yeah, you'd have to see what they do with the second, third. With the Chiefs moving up here, they've got to be thinking wide receiver or Tyler Guyton, right? Like they're either going to take their pick of maybe the Texas wide receivers, Worthy or Adonai Mitchell, or moving up for the last conceivable first round tackle in Tyler Guyton, in my mind.
Yeah, with Jordan Morgan off the board, he's certainly the guy that if you were looking tackle at the end of the first round, that's who I would have thought would get there to you. Tyler Guyton, was mocked to Dallas. He was mocked.
He's been mocked to Dallas since like October.
Yeah, for a long time. And then he's slowly fallen out of the first round. He honestly feels like Tyler Smith a little bit to me. He's not super polished. He's very, very strong. Just doesn't feel like he's super coordinated yet with his body. And he can grow into that. He's just going to need some coaching. I was out on him. It felt like you were just carbon copying Tyler Smith, and while one you may have struck gold on one of them, I don't know what my appetite was to go after that again. If this isn't wide receiver, though, I'll be surprised, especially with Rashee Rice now facing six criminal counts of reckless endangerment and assault.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's
exactly so. Right over where I used to live too. I'm very familiar with that stretch of highway that he made that wreck on.
Man.
But yeah, we'll see who the Chiefs go here. Let me ask you this. Okay. Brock Bowers at 13 to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Feels like they got cleaned out at quarterback.
Absolutely.
You took Michael Mayer in the second round last year, and while Brock Bowers is a generational tight end prospect, I still feel like, I don't know, that felt like maybe the wrong position to take best player available. I could be way off on that, though.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I feel like Bowers is a different type of tight end than Michael Mayer is. I think Mayer can be that guy. Mayer's a great receiver of the football, but he also is going to be a much better blocker than Brock Bowers is. Brock Bowers is a go down the field and catch the football and basically a glorified wide receiver. I think they drafted a matchup nightmare in Brock Bowers. I see what you're saying, and definitely it might be a little bit of overkill, especially when they had needs at other places, but when a guy that was projected to go top five at one point and didn't do anything in the combine to lose that or do anything on the field to lose that. Like, we didn't look at Brock Bowers differently after the combine or after pro days or after anything like that. I think you can't pass up that value. Like it's kind of similar to the Cowboys taking CeeDee Lamb a few years ago to me when, yeah, you had Amari Cooper, you had Michael Gallup, but a talent like that falls to you, you just gotta take it and run, in my mind. But it'll be interesting. They definitely are going to be a more defensive and run the football type of team. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot more two tight end sets from the Raiders. I'll confess I did not watch them closely enough down the stretch for the most part last year with their coach when he was taking over as the interim last year, but definitely a more defensive run the football oriented team. So you're probably going to need as many tight ends as you can. So they might as well be good ones.
Yeah, it feels like they know who their quarterback is and Aiden O'Connell, and they're just giving him as many safety blankets as he can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Quarterback's best friend. Goodell's coming out. Does it feel like the tunnel is longer this year? Not as long as Vegas, but
yeah. Which draft was Mac Jones drafted in?
Oh gosh, wasn't that the COVID one?
Was it? That felt like they were walking to like down a city block.
Mac Jones.
The really awkward waddle in a suit jacket that just did not do his hips any favor.
Mac Jones would have been a 2022 draft pick then. Because 21. No, he was 21. And 20 was the year that they were all in their houses.
I didn't mention this when you were saying Drake May to the Patriots was a good pick. Drake May is, I think, infinitely more talented than Mac Jones was, but they've also got to support him.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And that makes me a little nervous because New England, you know, Bill Belichick aside, that franchise has not really shown a great ability to draft like high end talent,
especially at the offensive skill position. They've been god awful at that.
The offensive line, I mean, it's just felt like a whiff every other year. So curious to see how they support Drake May, but I do like his potential ceiling if they can get him those weapons. Chiefs take Xavier Worthy out of Texas.
Xavier Worthy, speed.
That's the right pick over AD Mitchell.
I think so too. And you know, if you listen to the show on Monday or Tuesday when it came out, the nerds really don't like AD Mitchell, and there's a lot of red flags about his production profile in college and yards per route run and all kinds of advanced stats. Really don't like AD Mitchell. Xavier Worthy put any doubts to bed when he ran that 4.21 at the NFL Combine. And yeah, has just been an incredible player for the Texas Longhorns, a program-changing player down there in Austin. And dare I say, I think, you know, they're not the exact same player. Obviously, Tyreek Hill's a little bit bigger, but this might be the gear that the Chiefs offense was missing last year because they didn't win with offense last year. It's weird to say with Patrick Mahomes at the helm, but they obviously won with defense for the most part all year long last year. And they were missing that extra gear that Tyreek Hill brought. Here's your extra gear. Xavier Worthy is going to be go down the field. Patrick Mahomes is going to chuck it down there and he's down there somewhere.
Yeah, totally agree. Cowboys pick is in at 29, so we'll get that in a moment. Also, this just came through from ESPN. I mentioned that Kirk Cousins' camp was frustrated. So from the ESPN article, Cousins' agent, Mike McCartney, told ESPN's Pete Thamel that the Falcons only notified the quarterback that they'd picked Penix while the team was on the clock. His agent said there's frustration and confusion coming from Cousins because Atlanta did not use its first-round pick to make the team better in 2024. McCartney said Cousins understands the business of football and is ready to move on, but there was indeed surprise about the Falcons' decision. Trey, they gave him 4 years, $180 million this offseason after passing on Lamar Jackson and potentially giving him that same money the offseason before. Some really confusing moves from the Falcons front office.
And it's not just this year either, right? It's 3 years in a row that they've used a top 10 pick now, or 3 out of 4, excuse me, with Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and now Michael Penix Jr. They've used a top 10 pick on an offensive skill position that they did not need.
Yeah, you needed defense so badly this year.
You needed defense this year. And that's not to say that there's not good defensive players in the second and third round. They're going to be picking at the top of those rounds too. But man, part of me wants to look at Kirk Cousins and tell him to get over himself just a little bit. Like
it's a very lucrative clipboard he's going to be holding one day.
I can't stand when some of these players, like Aaron Rodgers did the same thing. And with Aaron Rodgers, when they drafted Jordan Love, like, dude, that was the exact same thing you did to Brett Favre. Like, do you not see the irony in that? Kirk Cousins, you were the second quarterback drafted by the Washington then Redskins.
Yeah.
When they took RG3 in the first round. You are literally a contingency plan yourself. So why are you mad that your team is taking a contingency plan? Oh no. Oh no. Haven't come for me yet. Oh no. Tyler Guyton. There it is. The tackle out of Oklahoma. Your man, your myth, your legend. He's a big boy. He's a big, big dude. 6'8".
He's a big, uncoordinated boy.
Definitely needs some footwork. Footwork work. Whew. You know,
that's a pin throw for me.
It was the mock since October, like I mentioned.
6'7", 322. So that means that he will play left tackle.
He will play left tackle, and you probably slide Tyler Smith inside.
Well, Smith was playing guard last year, and he looked really good. So the hope was that you would take a center and or one of the top tackles.
They still could, to be clear.
And they still could. And they
still on the board.
They still could. You know, I'm curious to know how tomorrow night's going to play out. Obviously, second and third round, you know, have three picks to get that.
Was he the best player available right there?
Guyton? No.
Who would you? So you're in that war room. Who are you standing on the table for them to draft at that point? Is it taking the best, truly best player available? Because, you know, Cooper DeJean is still on the board. And to me, that's the best player available. Yeah, but you don't really need that player.
Trying to get... Give me a second, because I'm trying to figure out who all is left. The draft ticker that I have doesn't have that.
Yeah, I got you. So
stall for me. Live radio.
Yeah, so Tyler Guyton, the pick for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously a trade back from 24. Graham Barton was on the board at 24 if you wanted to go center. It seemed like the Cowboys were locked in on tackle, and they realized that if they were going to get one of the top tackles in this draft, they needed to move up. Cowboys don't do that. We all know that. So they move back. They pick up a third-round pick, and they also get Tyler Guyton, the tackle out of Oklahoma. As I mentioned, a behemoth of a man at 6'7". 330, pushing 330 pounds. The cons are definitely the footwork. The cons are definitely, you know, heat
and placement,
which is weird to me for a former tight end. Is it not? Like, he was a tight end before he was, you know, moved to tackle.
Yeah.
But
he's a big boy. You lose some of that mobility when you're 322. Absolutely. This is going to hurt a little bit. Jerzon Newton is still on the board. Defensive tackle out of Illinois. That's a glaring need for the Dallas Cowboys. One of the worst run defenses in the NFL last year. Packers got whatever they wanted on the ground in that playoff game with Aaron Jones. It set up the pass. We've been clamoring for the Cowboys to fix their defensive line for a long time. Unfortunately, Dallas thought that meant Mazi Smith last year, and we said, well, no, not him. That was a terrible pick. Jerzon Newton, I think would have been, I would have liked that much more over Guyton. That feels like the Cowboys plugging a need, instead of picking for need, instead of truly picking for value. You mentioned Cooper DeJean still on the board, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, et cetera. Tomorrow is going to be all wide receivers at the beginning of this round.
And maybe corners. Maybe corners.
Corners and wide receivers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so let me paint the positive picture here. You do have a day one starter at tackle, I believe. And
yeah,
you plug that hole. Whether or not he's going to be top half of the NFL, at tackle his first year remains to be seen. But you do have a plug and play guy that will be ready to go week one. There's something to be said about that. I think if there weren't as many really, really good tackle prospects that went all the way from pick 5 to pick 20-ish in this draft, you'd be more happy with Guyton. But he was definitely a tier down from those guys. Ravens are on the clock now. They take Nate Wiggins, corner, out of Clemson. I love this pick. Dude is just twitchy. Just really, really good at getting to the football, disrupting plays, played against some really good receivers in the ACC, and had some huge games. And we all know that Clemson is just a factory for guys that translate really well to the NFL.
ESPN just had to quickly cut away from Mr. Wiggins and his family. someone in his extended family there, not dressed all that much. And I think the producer had to nix that shot.
Oh, I think I see who you're talking about on NFL Network now. So, woo, all right. Yep. And now we're in a crowd shot. So
that's a quick pivot there.
Quick cut. Nate Wiggins, 24 pass breakups in his career. Flies to the football.
Good hips. Maybe the most fluid hips in this draft class.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to the Cowboys just really quickly. And again, if you're new here, they are our NFL team of choice. And this is typically a college football show, but we do like to lament and celebrate all things Dallas Cowboys when we can. I tried to paint the rosy picture, but he's a tier down from the other guys in this draft, but a tier above. I do think you needed a true tackle in this class, and he is a tier above any of the guys that you're going to maybe be able to salvage in the second or third round. Cause I mean, you're talking about guys like Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, a guy I really like personally. I mocked him to a lot of different teams on our mock draft series, but Blake Fisher, the Suamata out of BYU, maybe even Christian Jones out of Texas. Those are the guys that you're looking at if you wait till day two.
Right.
And I do think there's a clear tier advantage for taking Guyton if you're comparing it to those guys.
There absolutely is. Suamaitaia was going to be a reach. I mean, you talk with some people and they're in love with the frame and maybe what you can build there, but he is not a ready-made NFL player. If you plugged him in as a starter today, he would get whipped. And it would not go well. And so that was not the answer. Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston. A lot of people were considering him. And he crept up into some mock drafts.
He did.
As the first round pick of the Cowboys. That was going to be a disaster. Same deal. Guy that needs some development, is not a ready-made NFL player. So you're right. I mean, there is a definite drop-off. Now, you go look at guards.
That's where I was going to ask you because, you know, not taking Barton, not standing in there at 24 and taking Barton, you open yourself up to some interesting prospects at guard in the second and third round in my mind.
You do. I think Christian Hayes, he's the top guard on the board right now. He'll go early, should go early tomorrow in the second round. Cooper Beebe, depends where you have him. Some mocks, he's slid all the way back to the third round. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do like Cooper. I think he's a ready-made NFL guard. Could play center if you needed him to, but I think he projects more as that right guard solution. Brandon Coleman, Zach Zinter, Christian Mahogany out of Boston College a little bit later on. I really like Mahogany. I think if you can get him in the third round, you would be doing cartwheels. At center, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
We love this guy. He's still on the board. Zach Frazier, West Virginia, still on the board.
Tanner Bordellini out of Wisconsin. Guy I really like.
Yeah. Cedric Van Praan Granger, you know, mixed reviews on him out of Georgia. That's really it. You know, some folks were really high on Bo Limmer. You've heard nice things about Matt Lee or Charles Turner out of LSU. I'm certainly not. high on that board. I think they showed a lot of inconsistencies in their game. So, you know, if you could take them into third, beginning of fourth round, and you know, okay, this is going to be that sixth offensive lineman, right? Not the swing tackle, but maybe he's our interior replacement. I think you're in love with that. But if you need one of those guys to step up and be your center, step up and be your left guard or your right guard, I'm out on that as a Cowboys fan. So, you know, for me, this just says that there was some red flag in the medicals from JPJ. You texted that earlier that you'd been hearing that. I don't know what that red flag would be, but it's really unfortunate because that guy owned the Senior Bowl, owned the offseason workouts, did everything right at Oregon, and now, you know, may slip out of the first round entirely.
Which is just so unfortunate. And that to me, that does show that something got out to these teams. And, you know, it seemed like that was a guy that was penciled in around 20 for a long time. And we made the comment that he had just rocketed up draft boards. But the perfect type of player that you will see someone take a gamble on in the second round. That, you know, should have gone in the first, but the medicals are a little, you know, iffy. Heck, we've seen the Cowboys capitalize on that in the not so recent past. So, San Francisco pick is in. Offensive line is a need. Edge is a sneaky need to me, after they lose, Chase sure. Young.
This is where I thought Darius Robinson was going to go.
Yeah. I could definitely see that, which, you know, they've kind of been cleaned out here. Corner, definitely a need for them as well. Wide receiver could be a need as well, depending on what they want to do. You sent me a tweet earlier today that they were rumored to be considering shopping either their big name wide receivers, Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, to move up into the top 10. So, here comes Goodell with the 49ers selection. Lots of different places the defending NFC champions could go. We'll see where they go here.
Oh, okay. Not the wide receiver I thought they were going to take.
Okay, I'm interested. Ricky Pearsall. Okay. Guy, what mock draft did I do this in? I think the Atlanta mock draft that I did a couple weeks ago. I was all over this guy in the third round. I think we were getting him in mock drafts. I have not seen him in the first round.
I hadn't either.
But again, like I said with the tackle out of Arizona, Wilson, once you're in the late first round and you're out of first round grades, it's pet cat time. It's guys that, you know, you need a receiver. Every team's going to have a different wide receiver one left on the board at this point. For the 49ers, it's clearly Ricky Pearsall. And I can see why. He played on a really crappy team this year at Florida. And he was pretty much the lone bright spot on that team.
He's going to go up and get the ball for you, right? He's a big-time possession wide receiver. Is he going to be able to separate at the NFL level? I don't know. But, boy, guy's got hands made of glue. So if you're looking for, you know, that possession option, you're going to get it. Did the Bills just trade again? They did. They traded to Carolina.
Panthers logos.
Hello, Carolina. Welcome back to the first
round. Welcome back to the first round. Well, welcome to the first round, right? Because they traded. Has Carolina picked today? I don't think they have.
No, they lost their...
They gave up
pick with the first overall selection.
Yeah, they gave up the number one overall pick for
Bryce Young.
Wait, for Bryce Young last year. Yeah. So, okay, there's the trade. Panthers get 32 and a 6. Bills get 33 and 141. So, okay.
Bills just continue to collect picks down the board. They're cleaned out. You know,
might as well.
We'll have the first pick of day two and, you know, collect some more inside the top 150. Ooh, ESPN's camera is struggling. Just got a mega zoom on Booger there.
Have some time to really think about it overnight. Again, thank you guys so much. As we are wrapping up here, last pick of the first round, we're not going to hang out too much longer after this pick comes in. We will wrap up here, but thank you guys so much for joining us. Huge audience tonight. We really appreciate it. Thank you guys for spending part of your draft night with us here at the Three Technique. Again, an eventful first round, just kind of wrapping up the headlines. Once again, the first 14 players off the board are offensive players. Six quarterbacks in the top 12, headlined by the surprising picks of Michael Penix Jr. at 8 to Atlanta and Bo Nix at 12 to Denver. Lots of teams hoping that they found their franchise quarterback to take them to the next level. The pick is in for Carolina. I have not seen Goodell walk up to the podium just yet. Who do you think, as you're looking across the first round, who are your A grades so far? Who do you think, you know, just one pick in or two picks in a couple cases?
Yeah.
Who has nailed it so far in your mind?
I think the Cardinals have nailed it, getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. And then one of my top edge rushers, I think, was a great pick. I'll give a kudos to the Chargers for sticking in and taking the tackle that not only is the best talent on the board as far as offensive line goes, was a top 10 talent. But also a huge scheme fit and a huge need for your quarterback. That's going to help Harbaugh start to install his offense. The Bears have to get an A. They get Roma Dunze there at 9.
What about the Rams? I think getting Jared Verse at 19.
Yeah.
That's not a name we've mentioned so far tonight. I thought that was a fantastic pick, just letting the draft come to them.
Yeah, really my edge one, I think, all around. Jared Verse, I think, is the best edge rusher in this class, and you get him without having to do anything. I think that's an amazing pick.
Yeah, fantastic pick by the Bears. Quinyon Mitchell going to the Eagles at 22. Our cornerback won as a show.
Yep.
And he didn't go till 22. That's just the Eagles every single year, it seems like. The draft just falls right in their laps, and they get a stud, which is just disgusting as Cowboys fans. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, we mentioned Jordan Morgan to the Packers. That's a very interesting pick. We mentioned the two quarterback selections of Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. Those are going to be the most talked about on all the shows tomorrow morning. I'm sure Stephen A. Smith will have some thoughts, and whoever else is on those morning shows on ESPN these days. Anybody else that you look at that pick and say, not what I would have done there?
JC
Latham thought we haven't Latham talked
went,
about
Latham went higher than I would have.
I know was way higher than I expected, but obviously a guy that the Titans just had higher on their board.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe in Penix, McCarthy, or Nix as NFL starters. So I think those teams are going to end up regretting those picks. Other than that, I feel like it's been pretty as expected. As the Panthers take Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina.
Interesting.
To end the first round. You know, local kid, went to South Carolina. You need weapons for Bryce Young, no doubt. I think the bigger issue is keeping Bryce Young upright and in the pocket. So I guess the Panthers have just decided to not do that.
Really fantastic athlete, right?
Yeah.
I think a sneaky pick here. One of my favorite under the radar receivers in this draft. Very explosive. NFL draft, NFL Network right now, is their comparison is AJ Brown, which I don't know that I necessarily see that. I don't think he has the sheer size and just girth of AJ Brown.
Not that big, but
speed wise, definitely see that. He can burn you, and we saw that time and time again in the SEC. Another guy that played on a pretty crappy team last year. These receivers coming out of the SEC East.
I think the big knock on Leggett is, can he run the full NFL route tree?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's kind of the point of this draft that we're at. We have, you know, we talked about Adonai Mitchell earlier on this show, Xavier Leggett, other guys that, you know, they're burners. Absolutely. They can get behind the defense, at least at the college level, maybe not at the NFL level. That remains to be seen. But yeah, can they run that full route tree? Can they master an NFL offense and playbook and really be a safety blanket that a quarterback like Bryce Young needs? That remains to be seen.
Maybe it's just because it's almost 11 o'clock and I'm ready to go to bed, but how about that? You get to go in the first round, but you're going to the Carolina Panthers.
Whew.
When, you know, Xavier Worthy goes a couple picks ahead of you and he's going to the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, you get a fifth-year rookie option, so there's that.
True. He makes some more dough.
Well, Mitch, let's wrap up tonight. Let's do a very quick, because like you said, it is almost 11 o'clock here. We are old at heart and we're ready to go to bed. Let's do a really quick preview of the second round tomorrow. Give me 2 to 5 guys that you're really excited to see off the board early tomorrow.
I think I'm curious to see where Cooper DeJean and Ladd McConkey go. Honestly, yeah, like
absolutely.
Those are two guys that I just don't know. Like, I don't know where McConkey goes at all now. Right. Like, really,
a lot of people are penciling him into the Panthers at 33.
Right. I mean, really, he's a third down guy who's going to be productive on third down, but can he make a difference on first and second down in the NFL? I don't know. But you've got the Bills, the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Commanders that are the first four picks. I'm curious to see where Christian Hayes goes, that top guard. His available, Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. I'm curious to see where he goes as well. And then what happens with some of these other cornerbacks? Like, where...
There's a lot of cornerbacks at the top of this board, man.
A lot of cornerbacks, a lot of wide receivers.
Kamari Lassiter, TJ Tampa.
Yeah.
All guys that could go really early tomorrow.
So, you know, what order those guys end up going in, I have no idea at this point. You know, it seems like we might see some more activity trade-wise tomorrow in day three, as you always do, but it just makes it so tough to pencil in some of these guys in the second round. But I think it's going to be fun. I think you're going to have a lot of really exciting talent going off the board early tomorrow. Maybe some teams looking to move up in order to secure that.
Well, that's a wrap for us tonight. For Mitch Mason, for Garrett Turney, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for making us a part of your NFL draft experience. This has been the 3 Technique Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Gracious, yep. How about